Hey everyone, welcome back to the Go-Getters podcast brought to you by Go-Getter Marketing and Media, ggmm.io, and our friends at On Milwaukee. As you all know, we are in an interesting economic time right now with interest rates much higher than they've been, and we've been seeing the effects of inflation firsthand. Today, we're going to dive deep into answering your questions on inflation, what you should do about it, and where our economy could be headed. Today, with me, I have two experts. I've got Brian Andrew returning again. He is the Chief Investment Officer at Johnson Financial. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
And we have Jackie Ruppel, the SVP Private Banking Manager. Jackie, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Going to kick it off with a tough question. What is inflation and why does it happen?
That's a great question, Rich. Thanks. So inflation is really just price appreciation. So the price of things goes up at a different rate over time. And that's what we call inflation. So the easiest way to think about it is this year, everybody knows that we were paying a lot less for gas at the beginning of the year. And so it's a lot higher, and that's inflation. The reason that it happens is what's kind of interesting, because there's a number of different things that cause inflation. And understanding what the cause is really important when you have a conversation like we're going to have today about what's inflation like now and where is it headed. But the two main things are just the supply of things. So if there's a lot of demand for something and a limited supply, prices tend to go up. So if you think about trying to buy a Peloton bike in the middle of the pandemic, it was hard to get, and so a little bit more expensive. Now, not so much demand, and a lot easier to buy one at a price that's lower than it was a year and a half ago.
And looking back throughout time periods in the U.S., when have we had conditions like these before, and how have they played out? Has there been any good comps?
Well, I think the thing that people point to most often is the 70s. Not everybody remembers the 70s, but that was a period of really high inflation, late 70s to early 80s. But I think the biggest difference now is the pandemic. So, you know, a lot of people during the pandemic talked about the Spanish flu in 1918. I'm pretty sure none of us remember that period of time. But a lot of what we're seeing in terms of inflation is a function of what happened coming out of the pandemic. And so not a lot of comps for the current situation, but maybe some comparable situations that look the same in terms of the rate of inflation. But it's probably been 40 or 50 years since we've seen it like it is now.
Yeah. And what purchasing behaviors are we seeing change for both businesses and consumers right now?
Yeah, I think, let me just take the businesses and I'll let you take the consumers. Yep. So, you know, I think one of the most important things that people are worried about, policymakers worry about in a situation like this, is that businesses and individuals change their behavior because they're worried about future inflation. And what I mean by that is that, you know, it's very common for businesses to think, well, if I have to buy something now, a new machine for my manufacturing plant, and that machine is $100,000, and I think it's going to be $150,000 in a year, I'll buy it now. And so that behavior changes and pulls that kind of growth, that new investment forward, which creates faster growth, which creates more inflation. And that, so that's a problem. So that's why there's concern about a change in behavior and sentiment around inflation.
You know, I think from a consumer standpoint, it's interesting because we're also coming out of a pandemic. And so you think about some consumers, they've been stuck at home for two and a half years, not traveling. And so if you think about the travel industry, there's a lot of consumers and clients that we have that they're not willing to stop their travel plans right now. They're not going to let inflation stop it. But what's really going to stop them right now are the airlines. You know, because of inflation, prices are higher. They can't find people to help them. So, you know, clients are, they're choosing to drive instead of travel, you know, via airline, but they're not stopping that traveling piece. But then you think about, on the flip side, you think about going out to dinner with your family right now. Inflation is causing those prices to be higher. Restaurants are having to pay higher prices. They can't find people. So, you know, you're paying more to go out to dinner. I know my family personally, we've got young kids and, you know, I don't know that I want to wait for 45 minutes for an hour to get chicken nuggets for two bites. And, you know, we spend $200. $100 and we're out the door. So, you know, I think it goes both ways. Coming out of the pandemic from a travel standpoint, I don't know that it's stopping many people. But on the other side, I think it is the little things like going out to dinner, because going to the grocery store, you know, cost of those necessities, a loaf of bread, eggs, are all up.
Yeah, and those were interesting points that directly correlate with the supply and demand you were talking about on why inflation happens. Travel's a good example. There's less flights available probably because the airlines are struggling to staff, and a pent-up demand for travel due to people coming out of the pandemic and wanting to travel for the first time in several years. How long do you think this will stay how it is? Do you see things normalizing anytime soon?
Yeah, I think we're already starting to see normalization. It takes a long time, and I use gas prices as a great example. It takes a long time from the point at which demand exceeds the supply. So think about, you know, you pull oil out of the ground, then it's got to get refined into gas, then that gas has to get stored, and then it has to get distributed and into tanks in the ground and out a pump into your car. So that you don't turn that on and off quickly. So when gas prices got so high earlier in the year, it was because oil prices got very high because people were worried about the ability to continue to produce enough globally to meet demand. Now we've seen gas prices come down quite a bit. And that's because, one, we have more supply than we had. So we've got more refining capacity, so that oil is getting turned into gas more quickly and then getting to all of us. So prices have started to come down. So to your question about, do we see this continuing? You're seeing lots of places in the economy getting weaker. And so you're seeing less manufacturing, as an example. If you look at future orders for goods and services, they're on their way down. So as that demand starts to go down, you would expect prices to go down. And we're starting to see that, but kind of in the front end, the raw materials part of the economy. So think about housing. Lumber prices are down almost 65% in the last year or so. You know, they were going up because there weren't enough houses for the demand. Now with higher interest rates, and Jackie can speak to this, the demand for housing has gone down. So lumber prices are coming down. And I think you'll start to see that in lots of different parts of the economy. And as a result, the inflation numbers we hear about, read about, will start to come down.
Yeah, I would agree. It's the housing market is interesting right now with, I think, you know, supply is still low. Mortgage rates are high, and it's home prices are still over. They're high. We're seeing a lot of people doing home improvements to their existing home versus moving right now. So it's interesting to see the consumer change.
I was headline reading this morning, which is always kind of dangerous, but I did read a headline that said there's still a very high demand for mortgages despite these higher rates.
There's still a demand, but you know what we're seeing is in this economy and in this housing market is people are taking advantage of their equity in their homes and tapping into that. You know, your home is the biggest investment you're going to make. And so, you know, to support their family, looking at a home down the road that you can't get a yard and it's $200,000 over asking, you know, I think people are turning the other way. But yeah, there certainly is still a demand. I wouldn't say it is what it was a year ago. Those rates are really pushing people off a little bit. Our expectation has changed so much. You know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, we probably wouldn't have thought, you know, 5%, 4% for a mortgage was high, but today we do because we got used to that 2 and 3%.
Right. Brian, I read your article. I actually read more than the headline. I read the, which was nice. It was a fast read and you had some charts in there, so I appreciated it.
But you're welcome.
You had an interesting story about, I believe, a nonprofit board that you sit on, and they're debating whether to move forward with an addition or a big construction project or wait it out. And it seemed like they wanted to do it right now. Is that because people fear that these interest rates could go even higher and the supply could be even more scarce in the future?
Yeah, I think that's what the Federal Reserve, who controls short-term interest rates, is so worried about. I mean, they're worried about the level of inflation, obviously, but what they're really worried about is that people's perception of inflation sticking around for a lot longer than it may is what's really concerning. And that project is a good example because two things happen. One, people say, well, inflation is so high that the cost of this project will be higher a year or two from now, so we should do it. And the cost of money will be higher a year or two from now, and so we should do it. So what ends up happening when you have high inflation is you can pull a lot of future demand into the present, which means you end up having a much slower economy down the road. Lots of conversation about recession now. And the more of that demand that gets pulled forward, the deeper that recession ends up being, which is why they're concerned about that sort of change in sentiment around how people think about future inflation.
Yeah. And just in general, and we've touched on this a bit, but what industries and sectors tend to be the first to be impacted by inflation and which are quick to recover and which are slowest to come back?
Yeah, I think if you think about this bout of inflation, the first place that people see it is, and manufacturing is probably a good example, is where people need raw materials like metals like steel or copper or lumber. We were talking about housing. So as demand goes up and the cost of those materials goes up, people that make things end up experiencing that inflation very quickly. Then they have to decide, how much do I pass along to my customer? So Jackie was talking about housing. You know, if I'm paying 60% more for lumber, do I eat some of that? Do I make that house that much more expensive for the consumer? And initially, people try to not raise prices, but eventually they get to the point where they have no choice. And that's kind of what we've seen in the last several months. So that's the place that it starts, is in the making of things. Then you start to get an increase in labor costs, and then that affects all of us. It affects your business and our business and anybody who's trying to hire people. Jackie mentioned hospitality, where we know labor is tight. And so if it's tight, it's more expensive. And people are seeing that. So that's kind of the next place that you see it. And then, you know, on from there.
Yeah. Jackie, I want to move over to some more personal financial questions related to inflation. The first one is, how much would someone's savings and investments be affected due to inflation?
Yeah, so I'll let Brian cover the investments, but the savings side is interesting because, you know, the Fed has so aggressively raised rates this year to offset inflation that consumers are seeing for the first time in a long time interest rates going up in their savings accounts. And all of a sudden, it's this fierce competition between banks and, you know, raising those rates again. We always recommend to our clients, you should probably have, you know, 6 months of your household income saved in a savings account for situations such as this or a job loss or whatever it may be. You know, they are finally seeing something going back in, which is great too. So even if they do have to tap into those savings accounts and those vehicles out there, it is nice to finally see something going back to the consumer as well. So there's been some positive benefits from that standpoint, not on the lending side, but certainly on the savings account side.
Yeah, I think on the investment side, it's been a pretty tough year. And for two reasons, really. I think one, the market, stock market in particular, was priced for a low level of interest rates for a longer period of time. And it's become pretty apparent in the last several months that that low level is not going to continue. So as a result of higher interest rates, stock prices have sold off quite a bit through the end of June, down over 20%. And since then, done a little bit better as people think we're closer to the end of this interest rate hiking cycle. On the bond side, because interest rates were so low, as rates go up, the price of bonds goes down. And so people lost money in the bond market as well. And at the end of the day, most investments are somehow tied to the cost of money. And that's what interest rates are. And so when rates go up and the cost of money goes up, there are a lot of things from an investment perspective that go down. And we've seen that since the beginning of the year.
And are there any overarching things that you guys are advising your clients at this point in time when it comes to investment and savings?
Well, if you have a 2 or 3% mortgage, I'll tell you, hang on to it and save that liquidity right now because, you know, you're just not seeing those anymore. So, and the other thing, you know, that we're advising clients is, you know, we talked about this earlier, is tap into that equity in your home and have another vehicle as an emergency source of liquidity for you. So you put a line of credit out there and you don't use it, you don't pay on it, but it's a peace of mind to sleep at night knowing that if you have an emergency or knowing that, you know, the cost of the grocery store is so much more expensive and impacting, you know, everything in your life, that truly is a means and a vehicle for you as a liquidity source and a savings source as well.
Yeah, I think on the investment side, I always like to think of big sell-offs in markets as an opportunity to put money to work. And that's hard because oftentimes, you know, I think about the third week of June when at Johnson Financial Group, clients were calling saying, I'm worried about the market and I see it going down every day. What should I do? And my inclination is to say, you should put more money to work. And they're like, are you crazy? That doesn't seem like the right thing to do. But usually when you're most uncomfortable putting money to work, that's the best time to do it. And I think we'll continue to see some opportunities to invest along the way. And like Jackie said, to the extent that people have cash, they should be looking for those opportunities to buy really good companies, stocks, at a much lower price than they were, say, a year ago.
That's good advice. Some employee and employer related questions when it comes to inflation. In past periods of inflation or right now, do you guys see employers typically increasing wages or awarding higher than average yearly increases to help employees offset inflation?
Yeah, so that's an interesting debate, I think, among employers because employees see, you know, they read a headline, like you were saying earlier, and they say inflation is 8%. So then employees get a raise of 3% and they're like, what? That doesn't feel like a raise if inflation's at 8%. But, you know, if you think about wages over a longer period of time and go back to what I said earlier, you know, gas prices went up significantly in the first half of the year and are already down almost 20%. So 8% was a big number for a year, but not for 10. And if you're used to a 3% raise, as an example, inflation's run at less than 2% for almost the last decade. So, you know, I think employers try to think about how do I average this out. I know at Johnson Financial Group, we just recently gave people a little boost through a one-time bonus to just help with offsetting the level of inflation. So I think everybody tries to be creative, but I think employers are smart to be thoughtful about how much to increase wages in an environment like this because it's not likely that we'll see 8% inflation for the next 5 years.
Well, and I think employees fail to probably recognize that employers are feeling it too. They're feeling the inflation impact as well. And so, you know, to Brian's point from earlier, I think most companies are trying to stay the course and stay on their merit, normal merit cycle that they would reward their associates. But, you know, I do think in a time where it's hard to find people, it is important to do things like Johnson Financial Group did to say, you know what, we recognize this is a real issue. And it was a quick morale booster too, as well. And it was something unexpected. And just to recognize, we realize that things are a little tough right now, tougher for others than some, but it was a nice reward. So I think to Brian's point, companies just need to be a little creative in how they handle this.
Yeah. And then just to close out, what would have to happen for interest rates to go back down? People are complaining about how high they are now, but it's interesting because as you were saying earlier, you look back years ago or decades ago and the 5.whatever% they're at right now would seem pretty low. Or was that just kind of a flash in the pan during a pandemic where people could get in at a 2.9 or 3.3% interest rate on a loan and money was that cheap?
Yeah, I think that was a very, interesting situation that didn't last very long, rates being that low. I think it's likely that rates will remain at the level they are now or a little bit higher. But I don't think that people should, and this goes back to what Jackie said earlier, you know, a 5% mortgage sounds like, or a 6% mortgage sounds like a really high rate. I know my first mortgage was 11. And I was able to, you know, buy a house. Now, did I buy the house I wanted? No. It was smaller. It was probably not in the neighborhood I wanted it, but that was because interest rates were so high. So, I think they're higher, but not so high that demand will shut off. And I think the other thing that's really important is, you know, we still have this large group of people that are just becoming first-time homeowners. And that's, Jackie was talking about the demand in housing still being there, although weakening quite a bit. But that's just on a near-term basis. Once people kind of digest this and home prices will likely come down, you know, you'll see that demand pick up because there are just so many people in that first-time home buyer situation. And I think that will continue to be good for the economy.
I agree. I think consumers just need to accept it. Our perception is just so different now. And so once over time, the home prices are going to come down. Once those do, I think that we'll see consumers accept this level of interest a lot better and understand that this is where it's at to stay.
I think the one last thing I'd just add to that is that we kind of live in a unique place. We don't have the same peaks and valleys in pricing, like home pricing is a good example, as you get on the coasts, because we just don't have the same kind of population growth that you see in other parts of the country. So that's a good thing if you're a buyer, because it means that prices don't go up as much as they do in those higher demand areas. Maybe if you're an owner, you know, you got to own for a little bit longer to get the same kind of return on your investment. But I think we're in a good position for people that live here. We don't experience the same things that people might in other markets. And that's, you know, we read about the other markets, but that isn't always the same experience we have here.
And any closing words of advice that we have not covered yet?
You know, just for some advice for consumers and inflation is, you know, we run financial plans for our clients. And when we run a financial plan, it's a long-term plan. It's a plan for their future. And are they in a good spot to achieve their financial goals? And one thing that we do in those plans that's a real benefit for our clients is we run that against 1,000 different simulations. And as part of those, it's surviving inflation. And so, you know, when we have clients who have a financial plan in place, they're feeling pretty good right now. They've got their goals. They know they're from the long-term perspective, they're taken care of. So, you know, we're getting in front of our clients proactively right now and the ones that don't have a plan and making sure that we get that in place for them just to account for inflation today, but also what other financial impacts could happen and how can we make sure that we put them in a comfortable place to achieve their financial goals long term.
And I would just add to that, I think that's the most important thing for businesses and for individuals is you have to work from a plan, and the plan should stress test those things that might happen, like a high level of inflation or like a big decline in the price of stocks if you have investments in that part of the market. And when we do that work, we take those kinds of things into account and then say, so if this lasts for a year, if this lasts for 2 years or 3 years, what does that mean for you? And how does that look 10 years out or 20 years out? So I think the most important thing, like Jackie's talking about, is just work from a plan. And if you're doing that on a regular basis, you can take some of what's happening now into consideration and probably get through it with less emotion, which is what we're all trying to figure out every day. So I think that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It was great.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you so much.
A big thank you to Brian, Andrew, and Jackie Ruppel for coming on and sharing a lot of great financial advice in this current market. If you need some help managing your finances and would like to learn more about Johnson Financial, visit johnsonfinancialgroup.com. And if you got value out of this episode, please share it with your friends. Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of the Go-Getters Podcast, brought to you by Go-Get It Marketing and Media, ggmm.io.